Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you from the Sunbury Motors Studio this afternoon. And we get rolling with our play-by-play call of the day. Astros last night beat the Blue Jays, a walk-off in the 14th, courtesy of Carlos Correa.
First pitch, and Correa drives this deep to right center field. Going back is Batista, and it is off the top of the wall. Altuve on his way to third. He's around third and coming home. The throw to the plate by Travis, not nearly in time. A walk-off RBI double for Carlos Correa.
Fabulous. They blew up the stadium right at... No, I'm just kidding. I always love the candid shots there at the end. The Astros, to their credit, have overcome an extremely slow start, and they're the ones that have actually been putting the pressure on the Texas Rangers. And I talked to a member of the Frisco Rough Riders, the AA affiliate of the Rangers. And under the category of, look, we're going to go for it now, and we have mortgaged the future to get there, they traded three first-round picks in the past 2 days to get there. In conjunction, let's not forget, the Cole Hamels trade last year, which is about to deliver incredible fruit to the Phillies, I think, but is delivering great fruit to the Rangers. Hamels has been good.
That's what I should have brought up with you yesterday, Stephen. We were talking about all the moves here during the trade deadline, and I brought up the Rangers with Beltran. I should have, you know, it really, some maybe were thinking that the Rangers were rebuilding starting last year, and they sure were thinking that way, maybe, when they brought in Cole Hamels. Hey, yeah, we got a great shot to go a long way in 2016, but they gave Toronto a great run last year, too, in the playoffs, and probably should have won that series.
Yep, they did, and I think they were hoping, like, for example, that Yu Darvish would be, they'd make this great 1-2 punch, but Hamels has been the steady guy for them through this. He has been the steady rock in their rotation, and you're right. When they made that trade last year, they really weren't in the neighborhood, it seemed, of getting to the playoffs, and then they got there, and as you said, Sean, they gave Toronto all they can handle. Well, now they've made the other big moves. Carlos Beltran, they had a huge hole behind the plate. And the and getting Jonathan Lucroy was a big move for the current team. And Lucroy, by the way, is underneath is under contract for another year beyond this. There's an option on his contract. That was the problem he had with Cleveland. Because Cleveland, he wanted to be a free agent at the end of the year. And have that part of the contract waived? No. The Indians wouldn't do it. And so he had a chance to veto that trade. He could not veto a trade to Texas. The Indians were one of the eight teams he could veto. Carlos Beltran, the Rangers were on the 15 teams he was okay with. There were 15 teams he could veto. And now they have them along with Hamels. And keep in mind, they needed to make a move, especially on Beltran, because Prince Fielder's out. And Beltran is having an exponentially better year than Prince Fielder. And the Pirates have made interesting moves. Francisco Liriano, we expected him to be traded. He was. He went to Toronto. We did expect Jonathan Nies to be traded. He went, but we didn't expect him to go back to New York. And then, of course, Mark Melancon, who was under contract only through the end of this year. They now feel that the Yankees, after all the moves they made, now have one of the top three farm systems in all of baseball. And I think that's interesting. That, you know, people realize the Yankee, the second Yankee dynasty, you know, or maybe, well, let's say it would be the fourth Yankee dynasty. You know, 20s into the 30s, then the 40s into the 50s, the 70s into the 80s a little bit. And then that next one from 96 to 2000. That last one was built homegrown. Jeter, homegrown. Bernie Williams. Jorge Posada. Mariano Rivera. I mean, I'm just, you know, the tip of the iceberg. But, I mean, big names that came up through their system. And that's what they're looking to do this time. Now, keep in mind, they can re-sign Beltran. Beltran's a free agent at the end of the year. They could trade him, take the Texas prospects, and then get him back. So it's not like that's not out of the realm of possibility either. As for the Pirates, Liriano had fallen off the cliff. Got it. Nice was, I shouldn't say Nice never panned out, Sean. Nice pitched like Nice always pitches. I never would have given up Neil Walker. I would have re-signed Neil Walker.
He was such a crowd favorite, too. Local guy.
Well, Pittsburgh guy who can hit, and you play him at first base.
Sure.
Switch hitter. He can hit 20 to 25 home runs for you. It's what they're looking for. I mean, that one, Melancon, I can understand, and we're going to get him back, you know, and you got some other guys. I think Bastardo might be a guy they're going to take a long look at as a closer, Tony Watson as a closer, whatever. But they weren't going to re-sign him. So you deal him to Washington, you get the best you can out of that. They got Rivera. They got Taylor Hearn. Hearn has big time velocity, but he's hurt. I've seen Hearn pitch. He can hum it. Kid Jordan Hicks pitched for State College last night. He hit 100 last night.
Wow.
He hit 100 last night. I know the darn gun could do that there. I didn't know it could register it there. The last time I saw 100 on a radar gun, Joe Putnam was driving. So,
going back to the Berg, do they want to keep Tony Watson pitching the eighth inning and then and put Bastardo as the closer? Or is Tony Watson ready to be the closer in the ninth inning?
Well, Tony Watson's always been mentally tough anyway. Tony started his career here in State College. So I've always felt he was mentally tough anyway. And you have to be in that role. You have to have a short memory. I think pitching the eighth inning is pretty tough. I mean, Mariano Rivera originally was the setup guy for John Wetland. And then ascended to the position. So, I mean, find out. I think the only way you can find out is put him in there and see what he does. And I don't know what Clint Hurdle wants to do. But they got a little time to think about it. They do have some time to think about it. And the Nice thing, what's disgusting about the Nice thing, if you're a Pirates fan, is the fact that you dealt Neil Walker. I'm sorry, that one never made sense from day one. I think Neil Huntington, for the most part, has made great moves. I never once thought that was a great move. That's the one move he's made where I sat back and went, no, not this time. Nope. You got to show your fans something. And this guy can play a position you need and give you some power. Interesting. North Carolina. This has been a very interesting case, Sean. And this is the academic fraud case at North Carolina. North Carolina is challenging the NCAA's jurisdiction to pursue charges in the school's long-running academic fraud scandal and is holding off any self-imposed penalties. The school today publicly released its response to five potentially top-level NCAA charges, which include lack of institutional control, North Carolina acknowledged problems tied to irregular courses in a department popular with athletes on the Chapel Hill campus. The African-American Studies program, okay? I mean, just say it, okay? Just say it. You know, that class one time had a summer school class. There were 19 students in it. 18 were current football players, and one was a former football player. I'm sorry. There's so much evidence. I mean, there's actually legitimate evidence in this case. There's actually evidence in this case. Not hearsay, but like evidence. They have talked about accreditation, and they think it should be argued that it's an accreditation agency, not the NCAA, and they say that was the proper authority to handle the matter. I think North Carolina is way off base on this. Way off base. The school also had some charges that were invalid because of expired four-year statute of limitations while arguing that it disagreed with the institutional control charge. There's going to be a hearing with the infractions committee. That's where they are. I mean, it's taking forever. North Carolina is playing some games here right now. Could other students take the class? Yes. Did it appear to be a lot of athletes took the class? Yes. Did you have to write a paper in the class? No, no. Take a test? No. Show up? Normally the bottom line. Nope. No need to show up either. And you get grades. Rashad McCants, okay, made the dean's list. Claims he didn't attend the class. But we're going to fight the NCAA on this one. There's more evidence in this case, and it's also a case legitimately that the NCAA should be looking in. These are the kind of cases they should be looking into. Okay, they aren't the law. They should be looking into something like this. This is a case of the possibility of athletes staying eligible, the possibility of athletes staying eligible through what looks like on paper to be a potentially phony course. But they're fighting it. 800-795-9565 is always the number. 800-795-9565. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We need to get, at some point, Gabe Sinacropi on the show here. I want to talk a little Williamsport baseball. I had talked to Gabe last Thursday night, And, you know, I said, I know August is coming up and with the Little League World Series. And this has nothing to do at all with, this is not a knock at the Little League World Series at all. It's one of the great events not only this area has, not only the state has, one of the great events this country has. And that is the Little League World Series. But it also is an all-consuming situation. And as an all-consuming situation, a lot of volunteers are needed to make it happen. A lot of people do volunteer. They're over there. And people who come in from out of town are usually people who are fans of the teams. Well, where are they going to be? They're going to be in South Williamsport watching their team, of course. That's what I'd be doing. So they don't get a lot of siphoning off from South Williamsport over to Williamsport proper for the Crosscutters. Now, teams go over and play. I mean, I'm sorry. Teams go over and watch the games. I've seen so many teams over the years. I mean, Mexico. I've seen Team Japan. I've seen Team Uganda, several of the U.S. teams. I mean, you know, I've seen they've gone over to Williamsport. They'll take in a game. But it still is. And so what we'll do is we'll get Gabe on here at some point. Talk a little bit about what they're doing. Fair enough? Fair enough. And that's what I do. We're always fair enough. In fact, many people say the show, it's fair. So we'll do that. Williamsport, by the way, is at Mahoning Valley tonight. So, and since they're at Mahoning Valley, they're down by 2.5 right now. Brian in Elysburg on Penn State football. How are you, Brian?
Okay, buddy. Just calling to say hi, and I'm sorry I haven't talked to you a lot. I've been working like crazy. I got a new job. But
good. I'm glad to hear you got a new job. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you opening day. I'll be at the Kent State game.
Good. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Oh, yeah, you better believe it. And hopefully you'll wish me a happy birthday in 2 weeks, August 15th.
Oh, we will wish. Hey, you let us know about the birthday. We'll let you know a happy birthday in 2 weeks. Why not?
Yeah, because you got me on Facebook, buddy, so wish me a happy birthday.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. So what's the main things coming up at Media Day? What are the things you looking forward to hear from?
Well, I think one of the things we want to hear about is whether or not the junior college player, whose name I still can't say because he's not on campus yet, from Nassau Community College, I mean, to make sure that he is set to go. I think they're pretty optimistic he'll be there and part of the mix. I think that you're going to have a team with 81 players with more depth. They're more athletic. They're leaner. That helps. He will talk about the new offense and the competition between Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens. He'll talk about Saquon Barkley, but he's also going to slip in probably Mark Allen and Andre Robinson before he even mentions Miles Sanders. I would be sure of that. The more depth at wide receiver he'll discuss. I think Gesicki, Jack Ham and I were talking this morning. We both think Gesicki has a chance to be a breakout player for them along with Saeed Blacknell. We think Jack and I both feel very strongly about that. We were talking this morning about that on the phone. And I think up front.
Can I say real quick? I know Moorhead likes to use two tight ends a lot.
He does like to use two tight ends, but I'll say this. You have to do it based on your personnel, Brian. And what I've seen more from Joe is that he likes to use a running back. A wing H-back with this group and three wides. He likes to use more three wides with what Penn State has compared to Fordham. I think in part because he has greater depth with three wides at Penn State than he had in terms of three quality wides at Fordham.
Sure. And then one last thing that I'll let you go because I know you almost time for the news. I heard Jonathan Thomas is a linebacker now because he moved from running back. Is that true?
It is true. He'll be playing linebacker. Let's face it, the inn is pretty full at running back between Barkley, Allen, Sanders and Robinson.
Yep.
The inn is, I think, almost all the rooms have been checked off, and it was time to find another hotel. Thomas is a good football player, a good athlete. They need a little more depth at linebacker, so he goes there. And Nick Scott, of course, is playing safety.
Yeah, I can. All I'll say this is that I haven't been excited for the backfield since Eric McCoo back in '98 when he was a freshman.
Well, let me put it this way. If you put, say Sanders pans out the way a lot of people hope, you can put Sanders and Barkley together in the backfield. Now you're a linebacker. What do you now do? And how easy is it for Trace McSorley or Tommy Stevens to carry out a fake to one of those guys and freeze somebody?
Yep. That's right. That's right. And I'm really looking for Shane Simmons to play this year. But that's my opinion. But we'll see what happens.
Simmons, good player. I'll tell you, great shape. Talked to Shane last Tuesday night, as a matter of fact, Brian. I was impressed how lean he looked. He's going to get a long, hard look at defensive end outside linebacker.
I talked to him at the blue-white game. He's all psyched. He was ready to play right there.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Well,
Brian, thank
he's
you.
Like me. Okay,
thanks,
buddy. Take care.
Yep. Thanks, Brian. Congratulations on the new job. Bottom of the hour. Time now for a news update and more calls at 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Sounds to me, Sean, like they want to argue with everybody.
Open invitation.
What's going on with that show? They want to argue with everybody. And I'm not saying that all our arms here are locked and we're the Kumbaya show, but we're getting closer. All right. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. There are always so many choices. That's what I love about this. I mean, a thousand choices out there. Rio, of course, is always an easy target.
Oh, my, there's like two different stories we could have gone with yesterday and been for Draymond Green.
Yeah. But today it's going to be the University of North Carolina. We're going to fight this, and, you know, this is not something the NCAA should be involved. Really, and you kept these athletes eligible how? When you've got a prominent first-round NBA draft pick, whose first game, by the way, I announced Rashad McCann's first game in college. Okay? And, you know, and I know he doesn't like Roy Williams, but no offense, but this is what the NCAA should be looking into. Now, do I blame them for fighting it? Nope. Is the NCAA worthy of being fought? Yep. But do I think that this case is loaded with too much evidence and should be the kind of case the NCAA investigate? Absolutely. This is what the NCAA should look into. This is not a legal case. This is a case of how did you keep your athletes eligible and was a phony course used to do it? Okay, to me, that defines bozo of the day. By the way, Andrew Bogut texting out today how awful the conditions are at the Olympic dorms
in the village. He was trying to hang up his his shower curtain so he wouldn't flood the bathroom.
Yes. Meanwhile, now remember, Bogut's Australian.
And he's tall.
The United States Olympic basketball team is not staying in the Olympic Village. They are staying on a cruise ship.
Nice.
Must be good. Hey, I think I'll send Clay. You know, now, again, Bogut's now with the Dallas Mavericks. But I'm sure he has sent some pictures to his former teammates, Clay Thompson and Draymond Green. Right? And I'm sure they're going to text them back pictures of what it looks like poolside out on the Carnival cruise.
Well, once they're away from dry dock, hopefully somebody on the basketball team will take Draymond Green's phone away from him. No, you're not taking this. No.
I believe it fell into the bay.
I guess they figured, okay, where can we go to stay away from thugs, gangs, and drug dealers? Okay, we'll just stay out on the water.
All right. Will the San Diego Chargers stay in San Diego? There is a ballot initiative. They received 110,000 signatures and the subject is to try and build a stadium for the Chargers downtown in conjunction with a convention center right near Petco Park. And they would like to increase the hotel tax from 12.5% to 16.5%. Now, that is about a benign a way to get money to do something, because the people of the town, the pity people of the city, don't have to pay for it. It's people coming into the city, and they don't know what the hotel tax is until the bill arrives. Okay? They don't sit there and say, okay, the room is, let's just pick a number. The room is $200. Okay? I'll book it for $200. So you book the room for $200. Then the bill arrives, and you only stay, let's say you stay one night. And you notice that the bill is for $232, or in this case, $233. You're like, oh, man, look at the size of that hotel tax. Jeez. That's not going to deter anybody from going. They're like, oh, okay. So here's the poll the San Diego Union Tribune did. Would you vote against a hotel increase of 12.5 to 16.5 to pay for a new Chargers stadium? 30% said they'd vote for it. 40% say they'd vote against it. And 30% say they're not certain. Okay. Now, remember, there are going to be a lot of people at the polls for this one because of the presidential election. How would you vote on another proposal that would raise the tax to promote tourism, expand the convention center, and not pay for the stadium? 31% say they'd vote for it, 29% against it, everybody else not certain. So that's nothing there. If the hotel tax is increased, do you think it will result in fewer visitors to San Diego? 35% say fewer, 6% say more, and 56% say no difference, 3% weren't sure, and just got back from Colorado. No difference. It's not going to make a difference because people don't notice those things. I don't notice what the hotel tax is. And I have to pay for my hotels on the road and then get reimbursed. So I don't sit there and look at the bill. I mean, I'll look at the bill and go, okay, yeah, they get a lot of taxes here. I don't think too much about it. If a new stadium is built, where should it go? Downtown? At the Qualcomm Stadium site in Mission Valley or somewhere else? 26% say downtown. 55% stay out at Mission Valley, where Qualcomm currently is. 10% say somewhere else, and 9% not sure. How important personally that the San Diego Chargers stay in San Diego? Very important, somewhat important, not very important, or not important at all. Very important, 28%, somewhat 24%. So that is 52%. Not very, 23%, not at all, 24%, not sure, 1%. In the long run, where do you think the Chargers will end up? San Diego, Los Angeles, or somewhere else? 46% say San Diego, 31% say Los Angeles, 13% say somewhere else, 10% say not sure. Do you approve or disapprove of the way the Chargers have handled the situation? Approve, 12%. Disapprove, 67%. Not sure, 22%. So when you start dangling another city out there as a bargaining chip, you are not going to get people to go, oh, I'm sorry. I mean, why do you think people love college sports so much? The team doesn't move. Okay, you love Bucknell. Bucknell's not moving. Do you approve of the way Mayor Kevin Falconer has handled the situation? Approve 37%, disapprove 31%, not sure 32%. Are you a fan of the San Diego Chargers? 57% said yes. 34% said no. What is more important to San Diego, Comic-Con or the Chargers? I don't know what Comic-Con is, do you?
That's like a, it used to be just like a comic book kind of carnival festival, expo, convention kind of deal. But now you got entertainers of TV shows, motion pictures show up at that every year. Sarah Bartlett was there a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Big draw.
Well,
it's been there for years. Yep.
What's more important to San Diego, Comic-Con or the Chargers? 51% say Comic-Con, 33% say the Chargers, not sure, 16%.
Wow. Must have been a younger demo taking the poll.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's been out there. Comic-Con's been out there for a couple decades. That's been a long-running event out there, yeah.
I knew nothing about it. I lead a sheltered life, Sean. I don't get out.
Tunnel vision. You're dialed in. You're doing what you got to do. You've got the iPhone now. You got the iPhone now. Just type in Comic-Con and Google that. And yeah, it's quite the deal out there.
Never knew of it.
So when the Harry Potter phase was huge over the last decade and a half, you'd have fans of that come out. And then with the Twilight movie series, the stars of that movie would show up there. So it's turned into so much more than just comic books and
that's fine.
That kind of deal.
No. I mean, I'm glad you could explain it. That's why we have two people here. I mean, what I can't explain, he can explain. Because if somebody were to call the show and say, hey, Steve, what's this Comic-Con thing? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, it's interesting you bring up this this survey up now because, when we had Sarah Bartlett on the show during All-Star Game Day from San Diego, that was one of the things you asked her in terms of, what's the long-term plan for the Chargers? And she was pretty much breaking down the city landscape, possible locations for a new stadium.
Yeah. Well, they want the Chargers, the Spanos family wants to build it downtown with a convention center right next to Petco. They seem to feel that that is the best route for them. Obviously, I've been to Qualcomm for the Holiday Bowl when Penn State was out there. It was a long time ago. But, the one thing that impressed me about it, the stadium was older. I mean, I didn't like the fact that it was a combo Padres, Chargers stadium. I mean, you can kind of see with each one you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. All right, I got that part. But the one thing I did like, to be honest with you, is that there was so much parking and it was so accessible out there. I mean, that's what struck me. I mean, there's nothing but parking all the way around it. And I thought, this is actually a pretty good situation. It's right off two highways. It's a highway interchanges for two highways right there. Because I had to drive from downtown San Diego. I had to drive out to Mission Valley out there to see it. And that's the first thing I thought was stadium parking is pretty good. It's not like the Meadowlands is downtown. And Philadelphia has a great parking situation between Wells Fargo, the Link, and Citizens Bank. I've always felt that I don't care what was there. I don't care if it was JFK there, the Spectrum, and the Vet, whatever. But they've always had that south area there where I thought that was a great situation parking-wise. And I don't know about you, Sean, I've never had any problem in and out of that facility. Philly, I don't care whether it's basketball.
No, not Philly, no. I mean, even 20, 25 years ago, I'd get to a couple of Phillies games and went to a couple concerts with my wife down in Philly. And, I was just look for sports complex on the sun, on the highway signs and curl down off the highway and into a lot and you're good to go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and Pittsburgh's become like that, too, because Heinz Field and PNC Park, they share the parking lot over there. That's worked out well. Plus, you can park at the parking garages. And when I go to a Pirates game, and I have to freely admit, I don't think I've been to a Pirates game in 4 years. I don't think. I've actually been to a Phillies game more recently.
I usually park at the garage and walk across the Clemente Bridge.
Yeah, so a buddy of mine, and we did a couple years ago, the last time I was at a Buccos game, we went to a Wednesday business person special and did the exact same thing. Found a parking deck.
Yeah.
It was about like 10:30, 11 in the morning, plunked 20, 25 bucks down, walked the bridge, and in tons of time, and it was perfect.
Well, when I go to, when I go to Fenway, you know what I do? I park at the Prudential Center. I park at the Prudential Center, which is, I want to say it's a good 4 or 5 blocks away. And I pay a flat fee. Don't think twice about my car.
I'll do one of two things in Pittsburgh. I'll either park over at Station Square, and we'll take the Gateway Clipper over. That's like another 12 bucks, but no big deal. Got that in the budget. Or I'll park over in the parking deck over at Rivers Casino, and that's about a 2.5-3 block walk. No problem there.
Right. It's fine, and that works out. My point is this, though. When they build these places, I wonder how much parking is taken into account and ease of parking is taken into account, which I think is an extremely important component to the fan experience. And if you build it downtown, now I know obviously Petco's downtown, so they do. What's the parking situation downtown San Diego? Is the parking situation good enough to handle a crowd of 70,000 in a football stadium? To me, that's a legitimate question. I look at what the Rams are doing in Inglewood. It looks like the Inglewood camp is going to have a lot of parking around it. Patriots have a lot of parking around it. The Meadowlands, a lot of parking around it. I think for the most part, the Ravens are pretty good. Steelers are fine. Eagles are fine. But you look at college campuses. Penn State's parking situation, and you may complain about rates or you're in a grass lot. I understand that. But Penn State's parking situation is unbelievably good compared to everybody else. Ohio State does not have a good parking situation. Michigan, they park cars on the golf course. Alistair McKenzie, who designed Augusta National, rolls over in his grave 7 Saturdays a year. He designed that course. He designed Augusta National. And they park cars on the golf course. Now, they do have the high school across the street, Pioneer. That really helps with their parking a lot. Iowa, you got to park in a lot of parking decks. Wisconsin, parking decks. Believe it or not, Nebraska doesn't have a great parking situation. Minnesota, same thing. Again, you have to scramble around Minnesota to park there. Rutgers is actually not bad. Maryland's not great at all. Michigan State.
How about Northwestern?
Michigan State. Northwestern is good, not great. There are two big parking lots on each side, but then you have to scramble around a bit, but they don't have a big stadium either. 49,000.
And then you're saying
Indiana,
Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State has a good parking. Actually, Michigan State has a good parking situation. They're good, but they also lose a little bit because the Red Cedar River runs on one side. It's always lovely. We're going to build right next to the river. I don't mean the Red Cedar, but like let's take St. Louis. We're going to put a beautiful stadium right in the Mississippi River. You just cut off half the parking lot. Really? to do what? People like the ease of parking. Right? They don't like worrying about their car. They want their own space. They want to put in the space, the whole thing. They want a short walk into the stadium. They don't want to scramble. That's my opinion. Illinois has a really good parking situation, but they don't have a lot of fans right now. Indiana has a really good parking situation, but again, they don't have a lot of fans right now. Purdue has a good, not great parking situation. Purdue around the stadium only has the north end zone, and then up by the golf course area. Yeah, it's, I'd rate Purdue's no better than a C. Penn State has an unbelievable parking situation. I know some of you may park far out, but take my word. I've been everywhere. Okay, Texas, USC, Alabama, Notre Dame, whatever. Okay? Michigan, Ohio State, I've been almost everywhere. And I appreciate the parking situation here more every single time I go on the road. And that's something that's got to be taken into it's something you got to think about, something like that. If they kept it out at the current site, I understand their desire to put it downtown, like they're more mainstream downtown. I got that part. I understand that. But again, the thing that struck me about Qualcomm out in Mission Valley, I'll never forget driving out there thinking, wow, the parking situation here is great. Oh, well. We will come back and wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I've been funny, a friend of mine was. Yeah, I've been to all those places. That's my friend. He's listening to places. I'm thinking, yep.
Hackensack, Davenport. Pasadena.
Yeah. I've been to those. I've been to Hackensack. I've been to Davenport, and I've been to Pasadena. You mentioned Waterville. I haven't been there.
Not even Waterville, PA?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Beautiful up there.
AP Top 100 ever. And this is the percentage of time that you've been in the poll since 1936. Ohio State is first since 1936. Oklahoma 2, Notre Dame 3, Alabama 4, USC 5, Nebraska 6, Michigan 7, Texas 8, Florida State 9, Florida 10, LSU 11, and Penn State 12. Penn State has appeared in the AP poll. The 12th most of any program in history. Joseph Ban, I want to say thank you to you. He likes the Steve Jones Show page. Joseph Ban, thank you very much. Appreciate you doing that and for listening to the show. John Oran, tomorrow, Sports Business Journal. We're going to talk some money. We're going to talk about TV contracts and the Big Ten and the kind of haul that the conference brought in. He breaks more stories on business than anybody else in sports.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.